name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we think of crimes against humanity, usually the first name that comes to mind is Adolf Hitler, and rightly so, even though he is not the quote-unquote champion of killing the most people. Ahead of him rank Joseph Stalin and Chairman Mao. They killed far more people. But because most of his crimes happened in Western and Eastern Europe, we're a little bit more familiar with what Hitler did. And when we think about his crimes, we usually think, first and foremost, and again, rightly so, about the Holocaust, the Shoah, the planned extermination of the Jewish people. At least 6 million who were herded into industrial camps and put to death or worked to death or shot, you know, all sorts of things. But it would be a mistake to think that the Jewish people were the only targets of Hitler's hatred. Hitler hated a good many other groups. One of the things that Hitler disliked homosexuals, he rounded them up and sent them to the camps, even though several of his higher followers fell in that camp. And Hitler also hated the church. If you want to find the most virulent anti-Catholics, you will always find them among the ranks of ex-Catholics. Hitler was raised a Catholic, though he left the Catholic Church in his late teenage years, and he fell into occultism and other forms of paganism, though really it would be best to term Hitler as an atheist. He hated the church, and it was repeatedly said that once the war was over, he would deal with Christianity in general and the Catholic Church in particular. And so many Catholic clergy were singled out and were exterminated in the death camps. There are several books about that. And today we celebrate the feast day of one of them, St. Maximilian Kolbe, who really died for the double crime of being both a Pole, and you know, the Nazis thought the Poles and all Slavs were Untermenschen, less than human. He died for being both a Pole and a Catholic priest. Now, that's not his only claim to fame. He was a very famous Franciscan priest, and he did much to spread the gospel, and particularly to develop devotion to Our Blessed Lady. He was the founder of the Militia Immaculate. We have a group here in Ogden of the MI who seek to spread devotion to Our Lady and to spread the gospel. And he was, he ran presses. His greatest desire was to be a missionary in Japan, though it really didn't work out for him in the long run. And eventually he was sent to the camps because, you may have noticed, Kolbe. Now, that doesn't sound like a Polish name, does it? It sounds like a German name. Well, Poland and Germany exchanged territory a good many times, and many people who counted themselves as Poles had German last names. Many people counted themselves as Germans had Polish last names. It was kind of mixed up. That's why the whole idea of judging people according to their ethnicity or race is a really stupid thing. We all have a good deal of mixing in our backgrounds. Not too long ago, I had one of those genetic tests done and discovered that I'm 3% sub-Saharan African and 1% Japanese. Go figure. Now, I look about as white as they come. But anyway, the Germans wanted to, or rather the Nazis wanted to, win Kolbe to their side, so they offered him German citizenship because of his German last name. They called it Volksdeutsch, or of German background. He would have none of it, and that put him on their list, and eventually he and the other friars were sent to the camps. And it was a very, none of the camps were no fun for anyone, but they were particularly hard on the Catholic priests, because the SS who ran the camps were even more virulently anti-Catholic than Hitler. And part of that was due, why? Because Himmler was another one of these anti-Catholic ex-Catholics. Well, one of the things that they did in the camps was if someone tried to escape or was successful in escaping, they would put to death at least 10 randomly chosen inmates. And the way that they would put them to death was by starving them to death. They would put them in starvation cells. And so there was an escape attempt. They rounded up 10 men, and one of the men was just heartbroken because he was a father with a family, and he didn't know what would happen to his family when he couldn't take care of them. So he was very distraught about this. And St. Maximilian did the unthinkable. He went up to the commandant and said, I would like to take that man's place. Now, if you were an inmate, you didn't talk to the guards. You didn't talk to the commandants. And the commandant froze him with his Nazi stare. Said, who are you? He said, I am a Catholic priest. That was good enough for him. Here was a Pole. Here was a Catholic priest. Yeah, he'll let him take that guy's place. And he was sent to the death cells. The man who he saved survived the war and ended up being present at St. Maximilian's canonization. St. Maximilian went to the death cells, and while he was there, and he was dying and being starved to death, he encouraged his fellow inmates, those who were also dying. He prayed, he sang, he encouraged them. Now, just imagine how difficult that would be to do while you're starving to death in such a place. But he did it. Well, eventually they needed the cells for someone else because he wasn't dying. So he was killed with a lethal injection. And of course, you know, what did they do with the bodies? They were cremated. His ashes were mingled with those of the others that the death camp put to death. You know, millions of Jews and others that were considered to be life unworthy of life. And St. Maximilian was canonized. And so we have someone who died because of contempt of the faith. That's why, you know, well, that's really what makes a martyr, not just because you're a Christian and you're killed, but because you are killed in contempt of the faith. And he was. And so we pray for him, and we pray rather to him, in the face of any kind of totalitarianism, anything that doesn't recognize each and every human being as our brother and sister, as who seems to think of a group, whether it be a racial group or an economic group, as being somehow less human than themselves. You know, the Nazis didn't have the corner on totalitarianism. There was also the Marxists and other forms of socialism. There's Islamic terrorism. There's all sorts of things. And I think St. Maximilian is a very good example for all of us to stand up against such things, and for, first of all, faith in God, and secondly of all, the sanctity of innocent human life and the human dignity of each and every human person. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.